Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram, the Earl Ingram Show. Connor, how do people call into the show?
844-967-2789.
So before the break, we were talking to CJ, and this was this morning's theme is sort of complexity and how simplifying complexity has maybe caused us to get off course in so many different ways. He was particularly interested in simplifying, I guess, the issue of our Chinese relationship. He made the accusation, I think, that he thought Nancy Pelosi was great because he thought she had larger, I don't know what the technical term should be, gonads, than the president did with respect to her handling of the situation with China. Apparently,
I can't decide if your summary was better than the original presentation.
I'm not sure which word is worse. Which word is better for or more civilized?
Yeah, we revisited it already. It's done.
Yeah, we passed it. But and before we get to talking about, I guess, some of the complexities in the China policy that might give us all pause in terms of how quickly we reach a conclusion about what the United States ought to be doing today. I just saw the news flash that the Labor Department announced that there were 528,000 new jobs created in the month of July, which is an interesting expose on the complexity of the economics, because right up until the moment that they opened their mouth and said 528,000 jobs, the economists of this country and the financial community were speculating that that number would be about 250,000 jobs, and that the economy had slowed down in terms of the job creation, when 528,000 is a very robust number. And so then we have to scratch our heads and say, okay, we're being told that we're on the verge of a recession. In fact, that the classical definition of a recession for many people was two quarters in a row with a declining GDP, and lo and behold, that's what we've had for the last two quarters. So there are some who would announce that we are in recession. There were others who said, hold on, you know, we still feel robust growth ongoing. We have inflation of 9%+. There are those who believe that that level of inflation would cause a slowdown in our economy based on a worry about the future impact that it would have. We have the Federal Reserve Bank increasing interest rates at about as rapid a clip as they can, trying to put the brakes on inflation. Everyone has the view that that increase in interest rates will cause a recession and will cause a slowdown, for instance, in job creation. And what do we have? 528,000 new jobs, which is a revelation, I think, that the complexity of our economy currently has experts scratching their head trying to understand what's going on. One other complexity we have is shortage. And one of the shortages we have that no one is able to explain very well right now is a shortage of employees in all sectors of the economy. Teachers, right?
Huge teacher shortage. That there's been, again, the state that has been getting a lot of coverage is Texas, because I think they must have, I don't know if there was research down there that uncovered, like, you know, new and larger holes in
but the number there was
qualified
like
class.
10,000 teachers.
Yeah, we're talking about tens of thousands.
Of shortage.
A shortage. And so that, and it's leading states. In other states, the shortage is being underrepresented because they're lowering the qualifications required of people to enter classrooms.
So that's teacher shortage. But all you need to do is have a problem with your air conditioner and call up an air conditioning contractor, and they'll tell you that, gee, we'd like to get there, but we're really short on employees. We're short on staff. We're overrun with demand. We'll try and get there, you know, next week, Wednesday.
Restaurants are closing on like Mondays or Tuesdays every week because they're short employees.
Short employees. There isn't a sector of the economy that can't report that they're short employees, and yet we have this concept of recession, and we also have robust job gains. So, you know, unlike stagflation, which is a situation in which you have recession coupled with inflation, we're currently having inflation with robust growth in jobs, at least. And we have another anomaly happening, which is the interest rates are going up in the short term because of what the Federal Reserve is doing, and everyone believes that that will cause mortgage interest to go up. Mortgage interest rates did go up until last week, and mortgage interest rates start falling again. Apparently, the world believes that this inflation is a short-lived phenomena. At least the finance community does, and much of the world does. The rate of growth in home prices is slowing down. The demand for new mortgages is slowing down materially, which is slowing down the rate of increase in mortgage rates. So we've just got a complicated situation going. And the things we'd like to conclude about it, that would be simplified conclusions like, we're in a recession? Yeah, probably not. We're probably not in a recession. We have an inverted yield curve. What does that mean? Well, in the complex world of economics, that means that the treasury bills that have a 10-year maturity have a lower interest rate than the 2-year maturity treasury bonds have. So what does that mean? Well, that means that the public, instead of rewarding people who are willing to undertake the risk of a 10-year loan with a higher interest rate, they're being rewarded with a lower interest rate, which means that the finance community believes that interest rates in the long run are going to be lower than the interest rates are right now, which normally is the bellwether for recession. And yet, the jobs numbers don't look like recession. So what do we got here? What's going to happen in our economy? And how are we going to solve these shortages? What's going to solve the teacher shortage, Scott?
that's going to be, you know, that the answer to that question is far more complicated than there's no short-term fix. And you know, the short-term solution is going to be what they're already doing, which is, unfortunately, bringing in I read one article saying that current college students are being recruited to actually take leads in classrooms where there are huge shortages, mm-hmm. rather than be, you know, tutored by the teacher in the class. You know, normally when I student taught in graduate school, you know, you're working under the direct guidance of an experienced teacher. And so you're actually learning the craft and the skills that are required for you to stay organized.
Now, instead of flying co-pilot,
now it's get on in there and fly this thing.
Fly the plane.
Best of luck to you.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I'm sure you'll figure out the landing.
And, you know, you said it's complex because there's a lead time, right? You got to train teachers, and you can't just do that overnight. Yes. Well, the same is true for heating, ventilating, air conditioning engineers, right? You got to have technicians able to do that work. Nurse shortage, you got to train nurses. So there's a lead time to solve all of these shortages all across the economy, and we have an inflation that is basically shortage driven. We have the Federal Reserve trying to solve the inflation by increasing interest rates, which is designed to take money away from the people who would otherwise buy these products in short demand. We have a complex situation, and people talk about how rapidly we might solve inflation, and I think that the answer is that the complexities involved with a shortage are going to make it very hard to solve inflation in the near term, and it might be that the view of the financial community with this inverted yield curve is that, well, you know what, when the shortage gets solved, inflation's going to be solved and interest rates are going to come right back down again, because we'll have when shortage gets solved, we'll have an abundance of products that will cause essentially a deflationary kind of effect. So, you know, the economy is a complex issue. And I know that if CJ were on the line, he'd want to say, well, who's our president today? And, you know, this situation would be far different than it is. But the fact is that no one can lay at the feet of the president today the situation in the shortage of all of these.
That impulse to lay the current economy at the feet of the sitting president is always goofy. I mean, you know, aren't we actually looking at the collective efforts of the Trump administration in the entire term, but until there are significant changes made, you can't make that comparison.
The Trump administration stepped into an economy that had lots of momentum behind it that they inherited from the Obama period. They did pour some gasoline on the hot economy by having a tax reduction, which probably did fire up the economy even hotter, which of course creates creates the risk that we now face of a bubble type economy with potential inflation. So yeah, the Trump administration provided a bunch of problems, and then so did Mother Nature. You know, the pandemic was a significant influence in the shortages. The tariff policy that was adopted by Trump was a significant impact on the supply chain and the shortages created by the snafus in the supply chain. And so, you know, now we have this complex situation. The economy is complicated, and to try and simplify it in the way that simplified news media might carry it is to not do it justice in terms of
pin the tail on the donkey, right? I mean, you take like some specific number, whether it be positive or negative, and then you attempt to blame, you know, attach it to a political party or a specific politician, and it's just goofy.
Well, it is goofy, and it's also goofy from the standpoint of helping the public understand what they might face going forward. How should the public behave? What should they do with their money? How should they invest it? You know, the economy is complicated, and it might well be beyond the ability of people to develop an easy degree of confidence
or interest,
but they should be interested.
I agree.
It has a big impact on them.
Yes.
And so complexity for the economy ought to cause people to resist the notion that they ought to lay at the feet of politicians either the blame or the benefit of the doubt with respect to whether it was caused.
Well, certainly, if you can identify the economic problems that are challenging your life individually and specifically, you know, then you could probably then try to ascertain for yourself what a good solution would be. And then that would allow you to then go out and listen to politicians talk and know what you need to hear them say. And then also, you know, be activist and make sure that those things are being discussed and important to politicians.
Yes, and that policies that are important might be implemented. And, you know, one of the problems...
But we have to expect that from them.
Well, one of the problems I've identified that is sort of related to the economics is the problem of Tom, Dick, and Mary and the inflationary economy and the extent to which they all live paycheck to paycheck. One of the reasons they all live paycheck to paycheck in America is because they all have to pay for health insurance and child daycare out of their own income, which means that the income that they earn when in these double income earning households, the $75,000 that is the median income, is insufficient to allow them to absorb even the smallest increase in cost without having to sacrifice either health care or child daycare.
Can't go without that. My question is it always Tom, Dick, and Mary?
Yeah, well, we're going to break now. We'll be back.